Do you dream about the day when those greedy car parks that swallow your credit card now and spit out those rude debits will just disappear? Puff of smoke. You know, your dream may be about to come true. Futurist Maurice Maslowski is addressing the issue at a parking presentation, a Parking Australia presentation today, and we've just got a quick spare moment with him. Maurice, tell us it's true. Tell us it's so.
Of course it's true. How could it be otherwise?
Well, I just can't see it happening. What, these big monoliths are going to disappear overnight?
Well, they're not going to disappear overnight, but we'll certainly have lots of other choices for parking our car. The reality is that we are going to have cars or something we drive in for a very long period in our life. We want to move around. When we get there, we're going to have to do something with them. My position is that the great car parks that we used to have, the multi-storey buildings, as perfect as they were for the age when we needed them, I think over the next 10 or 20 years will just be one of the many ways that we can choose to park. And I think we'll need less of these big buildings and more of the other stuff.
I saw in your article, Maurice, an article that quoted you, that we might be just driving our car up to the top of the Queen Street Mall and get out and say, OK, car, go park yourself.
Yeah, hopefully we won't say it like that, but yes, absolutely. So what we'll do is, and we're only a couple of years away, according to Volvo. Now, many car manufacturers have claimed that they're going to be able to do this, but Volvo has actually produced, they claim, the car that will do it, and in 2 years it comes to market. So you will drive your car, as you said, to the mall, and you'll pop the car wherever you want to. You might get off on a side street or somewhere, and you'll press a button, and you'll tell the car to go and park itself. And it will then, once it's done it, once it's driven around, found a spot and parked it, it'll lock the car up, send you a notice of where the car is, and when you're ready to come back, like a good little valet, you'll go back into your app, press the button, tell it where you are, or it'll know where you are, and it'll bring the car back, like a puppy dog. Quite incredible.
What if it gets a speeding ticket?
Well, theoretically it can't, because it's set to be within the limits on the parameters of whatever conditions it drives in. So theoretically, it cannot go above the speed limit. Theoretically, it can't cause harm to anyone else. So if there's a pedestrian, it stops. Other cars, it swerves or stops. It should know to do all of that, and it's been programmed to do it. So who knows? And it's an interesting question, one that the law is going to have to figure out. Who is, in fact, responsible for that speeding ticket? And if there's an accident, who, in fact, is responsible for the accident?
And in 10 years, you say 1 in 10. Will be one of these cars.
I think one in four that we sell. So the figure is that in 2025, one in four cars that are sold will be able to be fully autonomous, meaning that we will be able to push a button and not only will it park itself, but it will drive itself. It will literally, you'll be able to sit in the front or the back seat, it'll know where you're going, how you like to travel there, how fast, where you might like to stop off, what you want to see, and it will literally just drive itself to that destination for you.
A lot of people still love driving cars. A lot of blokes love driving cars. Do you see a place in the future, Maurice, where we will not actually be allowed to drive our own cars because of safety issues?
Wouldn't that be interesting? I'm not sure whether we'll ever get quite there, but I think it'll be quite ordinary, you know, 40 years or so, 30, 40 years, quite ordinary for cars not to be driven by human beings, and in fact it will be the less ordinary option. The cars that are coming on the horizon that we've seen all have the option of pressing the button, meaning you can drive it forever if you want, never engage autopilot, or you can use autopilot as much as you want.
I still don't see how this means car parks will disappear, Maurice.
So what we're going to see is a whole lot of things. This car park notion is really much bigger than that. It goes to a couple of things. One around demographics, people. The reality, according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, is that we currently have around 2.4 cars per household. I don't know how you chop a car up, but that's what they claim. And we're going down to
1.7.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they love chopping things up at the ABS. And we're going down to 1.7 cars by about 2025. Now, that doesn't mean we'll have less cars on the road, because we'll have more people living here, but each household will have less motor vehicles. You and I have spoken before about the notion of work changing and less people having to drive at a set time to a set place.
Yep.
So I think that's going to change our road conditions. When we have cars that know a little bit more and they can make some of the decisions for us, they'll be able to hook up with other cars and to avoid traffic and do all kinds of things. Again, that will make the traffic flow different. So what I'm suggesting is that if our cars can park themselves, if they know where it's appropriate to park, if there are less cars on the road, We most probably will need less car parks in the way we need them, because our cars won't go to a car lot. They might go to a side street, or in fact I think there'll be a business, and I know there is already some apps being written, where you can park in somebody's driveway or on the street outside somebody's home, remembering that the car itself is going to drive there, not you. So it's quite happily can drive a street or two away and go somewhere different than the high rise that we currently have to use.
Right. Oh, it's just dreamy when you think about them not taking a huge chunk of your money. I think parking's got to be the biggest frustration for all of us outside of traffic.
It is, and the stat that goes with it, which is phenomenal, is that we waste 106 days of our lives parking cars.
No!
Now, it sounds enormous, but when you think about it, the average person that travels backwards and forwards every day to work or wherever would easily spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day trying to find a car spot. Even in a parking lot, you've still got to get up all those levels and find your spot.
Yeah.
You add all that up by five days a week, you add it up by 52 weeks. We're not going to do the maths, but you get where I'm going.
I do.
106 days comes really quickly.
This time of year going to the shopping malls, did they include the number of people that drive around and give up and go home?
Yes. I mean, all of that. It's the most frustrating thing. How many of us, it must be everybody, exactly as you said, go somewhere with the intent of shopping, buying, you know, going for a meal, and then just drives and drives around and says, this just isn't worth it. How much is our economy losing by that? I know local strip shopping centres suffer from it.
Yeah.
If you can't find a car spot, you know, within 5-10 minutes, whatever it is, our threshold of tolerance is, we just move on.
You know how they have those little fancy green lights now that tell you where a park's available down a certain lane?
Yeah.
They lie.
Yes. Yes, I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks that. I absolutely agree with you. How many times have I driven down for that green spot to find, in fact, there is something there?
It's very rude. It's a frustration, especially this time of year. And it's great to talk to you, and I look forward to their response and your address today, Morris.
As do I. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, futurist and bearer of some good news today, parking news, Morris Mislowski on Afternoons here at 4BC.